To go along.
Yeah, but.
I'm always open.
I used to.
No, just, you know, a lot of people. I was a 21, so.
No, it's not quite. That's not quite.
Oh, I'm sorry.
From board meeting.
No.
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 I don't remember getting an email saying.
Oh, they got the miles. We don't have the miles.
I thought it was two today because of license or.
I thought it was the later one. And I have to use it. They're kind of willing about it.
Well, I went to the third floor. And they just wanted to show my desk. And the whole thing is drained off. Interesting to see how this plays out. Yeah. Go to the elevator. The thing was down. So if you're. Well, you could, yes. That's what I'm trying.
Oh, that one, the big one, I see.
It's been ages since I've seen you sign one before.
All right, fine, pass it here.
Say.
I checked it pretty good.
Thank you.
It did your work.
We signed.
I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it.
Even when it was great, it wasn't great.
Well, I have 6:15 on my watch. I'd like to begin the month of proceedings now for the Human Services Committee. First item on our agenda is the roll call. I noticed that everyone is here with the exception of Mike Gable and David Celebrate, who will be listed as an excuse for this particular session. Citizens' comments. Are there any citizens' comments who would like to speak? If so, you have 4.5 minutes to state your case. Seeing none, we'll move on to item number three. And that's Chairman, Supervisor's comments. I'll wait for that last thing, Andy, until point number eight, and we can bring it up. But I have no particular comments at this time. Anybody from the committee have a comment they'd like to bring forward? These are governments. Nothing pressing. Tell us about your day.
It was a good day.
Good day.
No school, that was why it was a good day.
You're right, 100%.
Approval of the minutes, June 5, 2018. I assume the committee has had a chance to look at those and review them. If so, I would entertain a motion to approve them.
Make that motion.
Moved by Supervisor Berg, second by Supervisor Gable. Or Supervisor Mudo. Confused, sir.
I wasn't sure which one it would be, too.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance.
Aye.
Moving on, we're at resolution, or excuse me, point number five, to approve Paul Muller, Kenosha County Workforce Development Board. Who's handling that, Mr. Jansen?
I am, along with Mr. Muller. So I would introduce you to Paul Muller. He's the president of Professional Services Group, which is a local agency and been serving people in our community since the early 1980s. Paul has been in that position for a couple years now. Actually born and raised in Kenosha,
okay.
St. Joe's grad. I'll hold some of that against him. But he'd be replacing Dr. Brian Wolf, who has retired from Professional Services Group on our Workforce Development Board. PSG also provides our business solution part for our Workforce Innovation Opportunity Acts, and those are the folks that connect people to businesses that are looking for jobs. So Paul's here if you have any questions.
So you have some background with Kenosha County, not only being a resident, but also in a professional capacity.
Worked for the county for several years as well.
Great, so go ahead if you have a little synopsis or anything you care to share with us. Go ahead.
Born and raised, went to St. Joe's. Whitewater, graduated from there, been doing child welfare for 32 years now.
Okay.
So,
Well, thank you very much for expressing the interest. And, you know, when a person's nominated for a position like this, one of the first things that comes to mind is, do I have the time to do it? Do I have the, you know, ability to attend meetings and so forth? So we appreciate your coming forward. To the committee, any comments, questions you'd like to bring forward? I assume everyone's had a chance to look at Mr. Mueller's resume here. So I'd entertain a motion. Moved by Supervisor Nudo, second by Supervisor Byrd. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Youth and Governance?
Aye.
So moved. We're on to number six now. Are you handling this or is she on her own?
I'm going to pass this off to Nancy Morey. And just so you know, at from 3 o'clock to five today, we had a kind of going away for Nancy. So she's entered into semi-retirement, but before she did that, she wanted to come here tonight and talk to you about a grant that we have in our Children and Family Services area, along with Prevention Services Network, which Nancy has for several years been overseeing on behalf of the council. Nancy? And you should have handouts in your packets for us.
Lindsay PowerPoint, but you have it in front of you there. So I just wanted to talk to you about this project called Transforming Primary Prevention Systems to Build Family Protective Factors, which is a mouthful. But basically, we are in collaboration with the Medical College of Wisconsin and the Child Abuse and Neglect Prevention Board. And with those two entities, we applied for funding from the Healthier Wisconsin Partnership Project. And did receive that funding. We're just at the end of the first year of that funding now. The money is basically being used to train staff in our prevention programming. So there are probably 1,000 families that are served in prevention programming in Kenosha County every year. And if you look at the umbrella slide, and these are kind of jumping out right here, but all of these programs that are listed here are working with families that are in prevention programming. In other words, they're not involved in the court system. They're not mandated to work with services. So we have a lot of resources going into working with families in prevention. So we received this funding from the Healthier Wisconsin Partnership Project to bring protective factors framework training into Kenosha County. And basically, we are training all staff that work with families in prevention. So all of the staff that are listed here work from these different programs. Families First and Children's Long-Term Support Waiver are not technically part of the PSN that I oversee, but all the other programs under the umbrella are considered part of the PSN, which is the Prevention Services Network. The Protective Factors training is a 12-hour training. There are six two-hour sessions. We are mandating that all of these agencies become trained in this program by contract. So this year, for calendar year 18, each of their contracts indicated that they needed to have this training provided to their staff. What we first did was bring in a train the trainer session, though. So each of those agencies were able to identify one or two or four people to be trained as trainers, and then they can go back to their agencies and continue this training with their staff. We're hoping to be able to continue this then because we've got trainers embedded into each of these programs. So by the end of this summer, we should have about 150 staff trained in the Protective Factors Framework, which is a training that really, protective factors are the things that every family needs in order to be strong so that they don't experience abuse or neglect. So it's looking at things like, you know, every family needs concrete support sometimes. Every family needs to understand child development and understand parenting and those types of things. So. So with this training, we've got people across the community now that have received the training. They can now go back and work with families using this framework. It's a very strength-based approach to working with families, which is not new to prevention or to, you know, any of the services we provide. But it just, it helps everyone to have kind of the same framework and the same words. And so, we had a, I don't know if any of you saw, we were at the Kingfish game a few weeks back. As part of this project, there's also an element where we're looking at focusing on families. So some of the prevention words, the protective factor stuff is clinical. So the Child Abuse and Neglect Prevention Board out of Madison has created different like texting and websites and different things so that families themselves can get the information and it's more understandable for a family to be able to you know understand what the needs might be. So at the Kingfish game, we kicked it off basically, and we had one of our parent co-presenters throw off the first pitch, which was kind of fun. But another element of this training is that we are also involving parents as co-presenters. So the idea is that we want a parent to bring their story to be able to help the staff that are being trained understand where a family's coming from, and you know that it's not just all political, that we need to bring the family's perspective into that. And then the third element is, just lost my thought, sorry. I'll talk about evaluation. So the medical college is taking the lead on the evaluation. Dr. Ernestine Willis is our lead evaluator. She is a pediatrician, PhD that teaches also at the medical college. So with each 2-hour segment that is presented to staff in training, there is a pre and post test time, and then there will be a post 3 months after they've been trained. So we'll be evaluating the effectiveness of this training. And then, like I said earlier, the contracts have been amended so that each prevention program is required to have training for their staff. And then for 2019, we will be building new contract language into those contracts, which will ask them to also report out on how they're using this and how it's affecting the work that they're doing with families.
So just to delve into this further, this is ongoing in 2018. It'll also run through 2019 as well.
The grant was a state fiscal year grant, so we just ended year one at the end of June. So okay. The funding goes actually through the end of June 19.
Okay.
And the funding was really to bring in the training, for training the trainers, and then also we have one staff person who is overseeing everything.
Okay. And then when you do the quality reviews in 2019, is that after the grant ends? Is that post June 2019?
Right.
And this is, I'm sorry, go ahead.
We're hoping, like I said, to have this embedded, now in these agencies, and we've already seen that happening. Okay. Paul's agency that just left Professional Services Group and Community Impact Programs, they have several prevention programs within their agency in Kenosha. So they have really embraced this, and they're not only training people under those prevention programs, but they're expanding this across their agency. So, they just realize the significance of this training. So now that they have trained trainers, they can do this as part of their regular training, protocol for their staff. And then also, Human Development Services has embraced it, and they're training more than just the prevention programs.
What impact or what interaction do you have with those that are incarcerated?
Incarcerated? Well, this project is really just to train staff that have contact with families.
Okay.
So within Prevention Services Network, we don't have a lot of contact with incarcerated individuals. We're working mostly with families that are, parents that have children living in their homes that are not involved in juvenile justice or child welfare systems. So we don't have a lot of contact. We might have someone that comes out of the corrections system that gets involved in our services, but it's not a major thing.
Would it be, is it available to work into the
corrections? You're talking about the training?
Mm-hmm. Well,
yes,
I mean,
we could certainly train staff who work in those facilities.
Mm-hmm.
That would be ideal. We're also expanding into, the Division of Health was going to be an expanded entity for year two, but they jumped on board right up front. So we've already trained all the nurses that are in the Division of Health that do home visiting. And we also want to train staff as part of workforce development. So these would be the people that meet with families to give, certify them for food stamps and those types of things, medical assistance. And then we also hope to expand to some of the food pantries and homeless shelter. That was our plan for year two. It is just a two-year grant, and, hopefully we will, now that we have trainers throughout the community, we'll be able to continue to push this training, which we're making this year. Previously, we did have, within my agency, we had two staff who were trained as trainers, and they have been doing this for a couple of years now, and they've worked with childcare centers, training the teachers at childcare centers. They worked with students at Cambridge College. They did training for the social work students and also Gateway students that are currently in human services program. So we're offering the training wherever somebody's willing to take it. But it is a huge time commitment because it is a 12-hour training.
So you're saying this is a two-year grant?
Right.
So are we in the second portion of the 2 years? You've already had a year into it?
Yes.
And is this the first program of its type that we've seen aimed at prevention of childhood maltreatment? Is that the...
Well, like I said, the protective factors training has been around for a while, but this was a hope to really look at how to expand it. So Kenosha was kind of chosen as a pilot for this.
Okay.
So the prevention board out of Madison would like to actually do this, replicate this same thing in, many counties across the state.
So they're rolling out to us to see if it can be a viable model.
Right. So there is a heavy evaluation.
Okay. And this is through the state, obviously, is what you said, that's where the funding comes from.
It's through the Healthier Wisconsin Partnership Project, which is out of the medical college.
Okay. And the financial fiscal agent is the prevention board, is that correct?
Correct.
Well, that's great. I mean, I think it's along the lines of what we need to see here in Kenosha County. Prevention is far more effective and far better than waiting for next to happen and trying to fix it. So I think it's Supervisor Muno.
How much is the grant?
The total grant. We're in Kenosha, we only get enough for one position, for the short term position. I think the total grant is and most of that went to bringing the national trainers and then to house people at the hotel or everything.
Supervisor Rodriguez, are you finished, Supervisor?
Yeah.
Is the 6 2-hour sessions, is it structured that way? Is there a reason it is just the way it happened?
It is structured that way. The first 2 hours is an intro session, and then the next five sessions are based on one of the protective factors.
So is that typically done over the course of a series of weeks?
Everybody's kind of doing it the way it works best for their agency. Some agencies have done 2 hours once a month.
Okay.
Others have done 12 a week, just depending on what works for them. The staff that work under my agency, we're actually doing two, starting this week, we're going to do two Fridays. So 6 hours and 6 hours on two different Fridays. So really whatever worked best for staff. But we waited, within my agency, we waited until summer because we're less busy in the summer. We, with the school not making so many referrals. So it made more sense to just wait and do 2 6-hour days.
So you might have just answered though. Are school counselors and deans given this training as well?
We have not given it to them. We certainly would be willing to, but the school staff gets so much training around trauma and everything. So I'm not sure how many research.
Any further comments or questions by the team? Well, thank you very much for coming, Nancy. Is this one of your last official duties in your position?
Well, kind of, yeah.
For today.
I was PSN director, and now I'm just going to be a consultant.
Okay. Thank you for coming, thank you for presenting.
All right, thank you.
We don't require any action upon this. This
no,
is more just a presentation. Committee member comments. Any committee member have a comment you'd like to share? Youth and governance, anything? John, can you just come to the table for a second? I'm going to finish up a little bit of questions here. So we're on to point number 8. Any other business is authorized by law. Supervisor Burgett sent me an email. We had a previous discussion about methadone treatment and so forth, and what other counties are doing. I think Andy, your comment was about the Racine County and how they had a specific program, is that right?
So Racine and Lake County both have programs. What I'm hearing from residents in Kenosha is that they have to go to one of the two for methadone treatment. My question is, a lot of questions, I guess. So the viewpoint of methadone clinics of the 80s and 90s was, you know, they're just rolling there to get high and and whatever other stigmas come with it. The way it rolls out is they have to actually go every day to get their dose for the day. The only time they're given a second dose is on Saturday, and if they abuse that, they get disciplined within the program, within the parameters. I'm wondering how many folks in Kenosha County are not going to a methadone clinic because they want to, because of a lack of transportation. Transportation is always number one on Supervisor Hallman's issues. So I was wondering what the if it would be feasible to be able to get something here.
Yeah, methadone clinics are highly regulated and require specific and special licensing and staff to run a facility like that. So it isn't anything that when you say Racine County, it's not Racine County that's running it.
It's a private right.
Yes. And that's my basic understanding of the clinics. I do know that if you're receiving care there and you are on medical assistance, for example, you can use medical transport to take you to your appointments. So that is available for folks. The clinic is in Racine. We toured it last fall. And at that time, I believe they had a small waiting list, but I think that's always an issue when they were looking at it, possibly doing some expansion. But I believe there's also a clinic in Milwaukee, and I'm not quite as familiar as what Lake County is offering.
And it's something we don't really have to decide at this point. In fact, it's probably advisable we don't delve into it.
Generally, yeah, generally a private company that comes in. I know that there's been some folks asking those questions here in our community and whether or not that would be a viable option for them to open up shop in there. But that's, we don't track those numbers. We don't have that information. And it'd be really their business plan that would drive that.
So can we, a couple things. Get some more information as a medical transport so that we can get this out to folks so that they're aware of it. What do we need to do to attract them to come here? Can I just call them up and say, hey, we want you to come to Kenosha, or is there something that we can do as a county?
I don't know that there's anything we can do as a county for that. I think it's really whether or not they're interested in, and if they view what's going on in Racine large enough to absorb the population, they may be somewhat reluctant. I don't know that. I don't run those clinics. I couldn't tell you what exactly is driving their decision making on whether they're in Kenosha, Racine, or
Lake Geneva. Well, let's do this for a future meeting, perhaps next meeting, or if it takes longer. Let's actually get a report that kind of details the situation to the best of our knowledge. And that way we can go forward at least being informed as to the possibility of having like that something there. Or is it going to be one of these things where they need to be transported to a facility that's in existence now? You can also inform me, because my information is not comprehensive, but this is primarily for opiate addiction?
Correct.
So if the committee doesn't have any issues, I think we could have this placed on a future agenda item. Informational, it doesn't have anything to necessarily act on, but I think Supervisor Berg, again, you know, it's a salient point, because again, we're talking about prevention of relapse, and that's the thing we're after. Supervisor Berg.
Just a quick question. Methadone was used in the drug court under
drug control.
Okay.
It's an option, so you're usually provided with treatment options. There isn't one that fits everybody. Vivitrol, which I'll bring up probably a Vivitrol presentation to you next month. Maybe this will be a good feeder into that. But that's one of the medications we use. It's non-addictive that a lot of people have used to help get over their cravings for opioids, and also worse than alcohol. So,
and we have a program for that.
Yes, we've had a program for about 2.5 years, and then we have a DA diversion program that started in January of 17. So we can have now speaking, assuming these people will be available, but my goal was to try to get them here in August or September to give you an update on how that program is going.
So maybe a synopsis that would include that as well.
Sure.
Just to kind of
sure.
tie the whole opioid addiction.
We do have a representative from the clinic out of Racine that sits on our opioid task force, which okay. meets monthly. And she's been an active member for quite some time now, so we can probably reach out to her to maybe get some more information.
Good. I'm sure while we're, you know, just close on this point, ever since the street availability of some of the Percodon, Percocet, oxycodone, hydrocodone dried up, became tremendously expensive, then cheap heroin came in poor quality, and it's just it's a mess. So on that note, if we have any other comments or business by law, if none, I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion adjourn.
Second.
By Supervisor Holmes, second by Supervisor Ruby Sanders. Thank you, Youth and Government.
Thank you. And did you get the agenda pulled up? Because they even had it. And
maybe
it's attachments?
I guess the concern is then through the agenda center.
We'll look into that too, because I saw it on yours. I'm like, what
Are you tendering your
one way or the other? Yeah. Hopefully you hear it. But you know,
no. Yeah, I mean, if that works for you right now.
I told you to send me a I'll look at him. Look at
him. All right. Thanks, sir.
Oh, that's nice.
Don't forget the
yes, I know that. I can see the numbers.
Those are just things in their agenda.
Did you say that Nancy was looking at something up there?
She first.